Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Hello, welcome to the Balance Podcast. Our guest today, the great Charlene McKenna. It's funny, I've interviewed a couple of actors who are Irish and have resisted the urge of saying, do you know Aisling B? Because I'm aware of what a sweeping generalisation it is, as if all Irish people all know each other and are all friends. And what I'm learning is that might well be the case. Katrina Balfe, you might remember. Yes, did know Aisling B. With Charlene McKenna, I didn't want to ask it. And then during the interview, Charlene McKenna goes, you know Aisling B. So we actually talk about that, about this beautiful community that seems to exist among Irish people. Yeah, absolutely heartwarming. This is a terrific episode. Charlotte McKenna is one of the thing is, she reminded me of Aisling so much because she's one of the most naturally funny people I think I've ever spoken with. And this episode is an absolute riot from start to finish. Immensely warm, immensely likeable, and naturally very, very, very funny. So thank you very much, Charlene. So Charlene in Ireland, a big star, awards in the cabinet. Charlene has done plenty of stuff outside of Ireland, but in Ireland, as I say, multi-award winner. Bloodlands, first episode last night, Sunday evening. So if you missed it, it's on iPlayer. The next one, it's on every Sunday now at 9 o'clock. I mean, that is the absolute peak drama slot. Tells you everything you need to know about what BBC One think of this drama to give it the Sunday 9 o'clock slot. It is a terrific TV show. If you're looking for that new box set and you like gritty, noir, detective, the kind of TV shows where you're peeling back a different layer each week, Bloodlands is the show for you. Charlene beautifully describes the show. I'm always, as you all know by now, I'm so cagey when it comes to talking about a plot for fear of spoiling anything. Charlene also gives lots of wonderful advice about how to deal with setbacks and knockbacks, and when you think that life is going to go from A to B and it doesn't, and what she's done to get through that. So there's lots of wit and wisdom on this episode from someone who knows all too well how to cope with certain things. Super grateful to Charlene. It's one of those episodes where I didn't want it to end because she was so nice and so funny. So Bloodlands, every Sunday at 9 o'clock. If there's a little bit of the episode that you think, ooh, something's being edited out there, then yes, you are right, and with good reason. I'm not going to say anything else. Anyway, the wonderful Charlene McKenna. Bloodlands, as I say, BBC One, every 9 o'clock. Do yourself a favour and get on board. James Nesbitt, Charlene McKenna, will endeavour to crack an investigation. I'm going to keep it as vague as that. I'm absolutely fine with that. So without further ado, the wonderful Charlene McKenna.
No, do you know, I'm drinking a lemon ginger tea, but I want a coffee, but I ran out of milk. So
I see. Well, I'll let you into a secret, and just to start off with, one of my great regrets was watching Bloodlands this morning while drinking a coffee, My heart rate right now. I feel like I've been clubbing till about 6 in the
Have you seen just one or have you seen more than one? Oh.
Oh gosh.
It actually only because if you were to ask me between 1 and 4, I would say 1 comparatively is the slowest. I don't mean slow, but it's the because I remember watching and I went, oh, it's quite a slow build. I went, oh, okay. And then I was like, oh, okay. And then I watched the rest and I went, whoa.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
But I mean, that must be a beautiful thing where to there's a piece of work. I mean, I did not find, I know you're not saying it is slow, but I do feel that programs are more intelligent these days where the audience, you know, there's not a car chase every 30 seconds where it did feel like there was a time where there was an assumption that the attention span of the audience was like a goldfish. So quick, we need an explosion where
yeah.
I feel like I've watched a few things recently where a show has been allowed to breathe a bit. And I mean, that must be really gratifying from your point of view.
Yeah, no, it is. It's lovely. I always tell anyone now, and I've noticed it more and more. And it's, as you say, I think it is because TV shows productions are starting to trust their audiences, I think, more. But yes, where I always say, and I even say to myself, I was like, you must give something more than one episode. Because either they're going to do one of two things. They're either going to ram it with stuff, and then it's a bit cheap, or they're going to trust the process and they're going to trust that you'll wait, you know, which is brave considering we're in such a so much content world. But yeah, anything I think that's really worth watching will build, weave you in rather than just and then you're like, okay, it was an assault.
Now, look, you know, I've read a lot about you. I've read interviews with you. So I mean, I'm well aware that you have an awards cabinet that will be groaning under the weight of your own success, right?
You've got, oh, thank you. Very nice.
You are enjoying this remarkable career. And so please take this in the spirit it's intended. With a show such as this, and I know you've had many special things under the belt already, but with Bloodlands, at what point did you realise, oh, this is an absolute banger that we've got on our hands here?
Well, I mean, I think it, anything that comes with Jed Mercurio's name attached, you think, ooh. So I had worked with Jimmy before, and Jimmy texted me about the project, and he said, I'm going to be doing this show. Get your agent on it, you know, in case she wouldn't be, which she would. But, you know, he was just getting in ahead of the curve. Yeah. And so I was like, okay. And I was like, oh, this is one of these things. Because it's happened to me so many times where jobs come in and all the stars look like they're in place for it to all work, and then you just don't get it. And I was like, this is going to be another one of them. It's going to be another one of them where, you know, it's from pretty much where you're from. You're the right age. You're the right everything. Jimmy would love you to be involved. I was like, oh, you're not going to get it. It's going to be one of them. And I was like, right, well, all you can control is don't make a balls of the audition. Just must not make a balls of it. So I did the audition, and I remember I left the audition, and I immediately did that thing that I think we all do, well, people with good, healthy, low self-esteem do, which is I cast all the people who'll probably get it in my head. And I was going to the theatre that night after the audition. I couldn't tell you the play, couldn't tell you what I saw, because I was busy going, she'll probably get it. And you get that stomach turning feeling like, oh, they're going to get it. And I really wanted it, and I'd had a really big knock the same year that really made me go. It was more storytelling, maybe about where I was in relation to myself rather than the gig. But whatever it was, I was like, I don't know if I could do this anymore.
Yeah,
because it's just at what point do you go, what's important and what, and then it happened, and I couldn't, oh my God, was I so happy. So yes, sorry, that didn't answer your question.
You did, it was awful.
Jimmy, Jed, then I read the script, loved the script, did the audition thing, and then we still don't know, you know, like you, I'm such a worrier. So it's only now, even seeing some of doing some of the press and seeing some people's reactions, I'm going, oh, maybe it's okay. Maybe people will think what I think, and that is really good. You know, you never know.
Yeah, you're a fan of my wife and I, we're such fans of those Scandi noir, whatever you want to call them. We even went to Copenhagen. This was pre kids. We'd never be able to do it now. Because we love The Bridge so much. Are you a fan of those shows, The Bridge and the
Killing? I've never seen The Bridge. I also went to Copenhagen a few years ago. Christ, it was cold. I was there in January. yeah, the mermaid's lovely. Let's go. Frozen. Yes, I am a fan, but I feel ill-qualified to say that because I don't feel like I've seen enough of them.
Sure.
Is the short answer.
Now, how can we? I've been rehearsing this out loud and not getting it quite right. But how can we explain the setup of the show without spoiling it? So the best I could come up with was that you and James Nesbitt, you're working on a case, and it turns out to reveal more than you were bargaining for. Basically, my waking fear is ever spoiling anything for anyone.
Oh, and, I know.
Yeah,
I'm terrible. I'm all right. Tuck, this is the moment, isn't it? I'm all right with press. I haven't done it, but my family are like, Charlene! And I'm like, oh, I'm sorry. That. And I'm on Peaky Blinders at the minute, and my husband's on Ozark. And it's so hard for us to talk about our filming days without telling the other one how each of these shows ends. So I'm like, so I was filming a scene with them, and he's like, and I'm like, right. And then I give two clunkers away to him. And then he gave something away about Ozark. And I was like, but if you're filming there, then that means, no, but hang on. And then one of the days he needed someone to run lines with him. So he sent me his scenes, and I was like, but you're asking about, but so it's such a weird world to be living in where you're like, yes. Anyway, I'll try not to spoil anything. Yes, it's a psychological thriller. You come upon it, and we've pulled this car out of who's ringing me? Go away. You've pulled this car out of we've pulled this car to Strangford Lock. It looks like it's maybe a suicide, but there's a calling card, as it were, that you know. If this is going to be the whole podcast, I mean, really explain it. You know that it's linked to a case that was buried years ago, 20 odd years ago.
Chef's kiss. That was very nicely done.
And wait, no.
Yeah, yeah. And it turns out. Oh.
Yeah. Turns out they're all dead. No. I mean, no, they're not. Not true.
The twists and the turns and the acting, it's what I'm getting at is it's one of those shows where and it doesn't happen often, does it, where the planets align, where the writing is tight as a drum, the acting, and you're absolutely top of the list, is incredible. You don't know what's coming next. I mean, it's given the state of the world right now, we're all burning through box sets. I'm very honoured to be recommending such a, you know, people on their knees, please give me a box set recommendation, and you can go, here you go.
Yeah.
I mean, you must be very excited.
I am. I'm really excited for it to come out because obviously everyone's been so delayed. So now it's even more. And it's weird because it's a great time for a show to come out because people are stuck at home and they are desperate for content. But I also think it's made everyone a bit of an expert. I was like, well, no, actually, that series from 1990, because everyone's seen everything now. So it's a bit of a, you know, they're like, it wasn't as good as, you know, as you were saying, the Scandinavian version of that. And you're like, God damn, we thought we were going to slip in here. So, yes, but it is a good time. And I mean, it's coming on now, I think, next weekend. We've just, The Serpent, which I loved as well, has just ended. So also, I was thinking about that. I was like, oh, coming on the back of The Serpent. I hope people, you know, blah, blah, blah. But I think it's got everything. It's got the hallmarks of a real, I mean, Chris's script was so good. Jimmy's amazing in it. Everyone, and Arnis, who shot it, is Scandinavian. And it's, I think it'll be lovely for people to see, because it's not just Belfast, it's Northern Ireland.
Yeah.
So I think that'll be nice. I should turn my cup around. I'm left-handed, so this doesn't work, but hold the line. There we go.
Very nice.
Because, you know, it's true.
It's absolutely true.
But it doesn't work if you're left-handed. Maybe I'm just telling myself I'm kind of a big deal.
Yes, that's lovely. That's a nice bit of self-care to remind yourself.
Yeah.
You know what? I am.
Yeah.
May I ask, you mentioned the knocks there. How do you recover from the knocks? Because, I do know that there have been one or two. And, I'm sure we both know lots of people who they don't recover, but then some people do. So how do you recover from the knocks?
Do you know, I was thinking about this the other day, because I'm doing this like, I mean, I'm technically doing it from 16, which is, 20 years. But then I didn't because I went and pursued, proper university, inverted commas, before. But it's been 17 years since my first, you could say, film. And I was thinking about this. I was like, and in some ways it does. But you'd be like, why does it get easier? I think, because then it's just, I was listening to one of your podcasts. Who was it? Was it Clara Hanford was saying, what was she saying? It really resonated with me. But basically what I'm trying to say is, she was talking about always being on to the next and taking time to really focus on right now and what's happening. I think that's part of it because you're always doing that. You don't, and you can't really rest on your laurels and you're only as good as your last performance. So there's a chase mentality of you have to keep the plate spinning, and therefore a knock is like, oh, broken a plate and what am I going to do? And so, and I've got that thing. I've got that Groucho Marx thing of any club that would have me a part of it. I'm like, is that good then?
Yeah.
If I'm in it, so I immediately then diminish my accomplishments. I don't know, maybe it's survival technique. But the short answer, that wasn't short, that was really long, is I don't know. It's some jobs just take your soul out of your arse and you're just flat out on the floor sad about it. And some of you go, I don't really care. It's weird. And they're not even maybe necessarily like because of the credentials of the job. It just might be that day, that week, that your age, your, you know, I've had jobs where I was just devastated. Like I was just devastated. And for reasons beyond even the kudos of the job, or sometimes it's just the part you'd genuinely love to tell that story and be the one who gets to tell it. And then there's jobs, like big jobs that come to you with complete ease. And you're like, there's jobs that made you jump through hoops and backflips and somersaults and then go, no, actually.
And you're absolutely. Like, right,
well, Adam, my husband, said something to me once and it sounded harsh, but it stuck with me. He didn't mean it harsh, and it isn't harsh, but it sounds harsh. I was down to two for this job and they kept me waiting forever, interminable amount of time. And I didn't get it. And I was so devastated. And he was like, it's not your part. And it sounded like, I was like, but it could have been my part. And he's like, but it's not your part. Like, you know, and that's what stuck with me, because I go, well, whatever this universe, and it's took care of me, touch wood, so far, I'm not meant to do that. And that's just it.
And also, from, you know, I'm speaking with my Charlene hat on here, you are able to say, well, you know what, I'm sat here now, I've been in these projects, I'm currently promoting this, another dream project, I've got the awards, things are going pretty all right. So, you know, you don't strike me as the sort of person that would redigest past regrets because things are going so great.
Yeah, like, but it's always, you're always, you have that, and you go, yeah, no, yeah, then what? But then what? And because I am a warrior, it's like, right, yeah, okay, what do you need to get sorted while things are going well? What, because, you know, because this, when this train goes off this cliff, are we ready? Like, are we ready for the fallout? But no, it is one massive perk of getting older. And the past year, I think everyone has took stock and reassessed and gone, what's important? Like, what's really important? And, you know, no amount of awards was getting you through a global pandemic. You're like, is my family safe? Is what have I got? What do we need? You know, So it's about balance. I didn't even mean that. I didn't even, that was a fluke.
So I've read one interview. You've been on your brother's farm. Is that still the case?
My parents.
Parents'
farm. Yeah, I'm here now. It's my parents' farm. My brother farms it. That's where you've got that. My brother is the farmer. This was an everything farm. It was a mushroom farm. It was an everything farm. And now he's sheep and moos. It's a small farm, but there was a big old shed down way down the yard from it. And during right after I wrapped Bloodlands, I was due to fly to New York with Adam. He's a New Yorker. And we were heading off and the world ended. And then Daddy and him were down sweeping the yard one day and I came down with coffee and it was really windy and we stood into the shed. I started looking around and I was like, let's make a great house. And they were like, yeah, anyway. And I went, no, but really it would. And then about a week later we started and Adam was like, he was so pissed off at me because he was like, he was like, this is what you do. He was like, everybody else is doing jigsaws and you want to build a house. And I was like, but it's a great idea. He was like, I know it's a good idea, but I don't want to do it. He's like, I don't know anything about building a house. He does now. So that's where we are, yeah. And it's been, oh my God, it's a dream.
So hang on, you've turned that shed into a lockdown house.
Yeah, full house, yeah. We've got, well, it's the four bedroom. Well, two bedrooms are loft bedrooms, but yeah, we did the whole thing. And other than, you know, electricity work and stuff we can't do, it was me and my brothers, Daddy and Adam. We did it all labour ourselves.
Are you joking?
Yeah, laid the floors. We did everything. It was great. But it was great. I mean, it was. I don't know how I have any hair left because there was a lot of toilet breaks. Right, where honestly, I would just go cry in the toilet and go, I'm going to kill my whole family. I'm going to divorce Adam. I was like, right, it's just, I'm done. And then I come out and I'd be like, no, I do like the black tiles.
my lockdown fantasy is to build, I want this summer house at the end of the garden and it's just a place for me to sit so that my wife and kids don't have to tolerate me and also, you know, we all need a bit of.
We built one for Adam.
Oh, you might have just tipped me over the edge to finally get this thing done. I've been dreaming of it for months. So it's doable.
Do it. You probably could do a load of the work yourself.
I think my fringe would grow back if I did it, you know.
I think it is do you know, I read Michelle Obama's book. I don't know if you've read it, but in it she talks about Barack always needing his... I'm going to rephrase that. That nearly came out. It's very sounding like something else Irish people would say. He calls it his hole.
Okay.
I was going to say he needs his hole. So anyway, and she was saying that anywhere they would go, he would find a hole, as they call it. So it's the hole. And she was like, we have one in our house and we have thing. And she said, I grew up in a very close family, as did I, Charlene. And I so resonated with this because Adam is very, very... It can be very solitary and likes to be alone. And I'm like a puppy. It's like paw on his head. But I've realized the importance. Oh my God, you should do it. It's just wonderful. It'll change your marriage and everything.
You had me at change my marriage.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Courage.
Yeah, just awesome.
Now, I know that when you were younger, you mentioned the mushrooms there. Was that almost how the acting bug bit? You would perform for mushrooms when you were a girl.
Yeah, I mean, I have a lot of mental health issues. No, but I really was. I'm weird. Yes, I had a very deep and meaningful relationship with many of the mushrooms. I used to apologize to them for cutting their legs off. I've been known as a child to cry into the mushroom. So I don't know if you've ever picked mushrooms. Why would you have? But you sit on a stool with your legs around a bucket and you reach, pick, put them in. And obviously the butts go into the bucket. And I have cried into that bucket going, but look at all their little feet.
Oh.
And if I just left them on the bat, and then, you know, mommy would be like, yeah, but we need to eat as a family. Your call. But yeah, the great thing was they had loads of low loader trailers, which was just the best stage. So yeah, there was a lot of performances to no one and to mushrooms and to anything that would listen. It's a very lonely child.
Well, you know what? It worked out all right. I mean, there's another thing I'd read about you was you mentioned university there, and you'd been to a careers advisor. Basically, what I'm getting at in a very roundabout way is that I'm such a believer in pursuing a passion. And the thing I'll be teaching my two girls when they finally listen to me is to pursue a passion.
It's a long way away.
Yes.
And then they'll stop listening again. Yeah. You get maybe a wee window.
I'll have a week when they're both 40 or something like that.
Yeah.
But I think that was that a moment where the penny drops, the careers advisor basically giving you careers advice. None of the jobs were what you wanted to do. You wanted to act. I mean, that must have been tough at the time, but I guess with hindsight, that must have been a great thing looking back, I guess.
The careers advice was so dreadful in my school at the time. And it was, I had a year of, this is why I had to do a thing for, over here it's the Leaving Cert, you know, A-levels. I had to do a thing for Leaving Cert students, which was, you know, I don't know why they thought I would uplift them, but it was a video for them. And because of last year being so hard on all of them, and this year it's looking like it's going to be the same for them. It's shocking.
Yeah.
To, you know, to sort of thing. And I just told them the story because at that exact age, at 18, coming out of thing, and then I decided to study because I was lost. No one advised, no one. And I look back now and mommy told me that my principal said that I was going to be a performer, but no one told me that.
Sure.
It's like, so I was so lost and I banged my head on loads of wrong walls. And then you think, what am I doing? It seems so all consuming. And then I eventually got plucked up the self-belief to audition for music college. And then I got in. But again, you see, it's the universe because I stayed acting, albeit amateur. I knew I wanted to act, but I didn't think it was pursuable as a career. I didn't fathom all that. I wasn't very as savvy, I think, as people that age are now. But it was also my parents. They were very, Daddy said, I don't know what you're going to be, but you're not going to be a teacher. And that's nothing disparaging against teachers. They're heroes. My nephew's a teacher. But yep. He was like, but you're just not going to be a teacher. And I was like, but I will. Why not? And he was like, it's not what you're going to be. And then it wasn't long after that at all. I got a Breakfast on Pluto film with the film I was talking about 17 years ago with Killian. And that was the start of it.
I'd read a quote by you about basically that don't believe the hype and what good stead that put you in.
Mm.
So, there's an agent I know, a comedy agent, looks after, you know, all the household names, and she has this theory that when someone becomes famous, they basically disappear up their own backside for 6 months. Yeah. Now they either come back to the real world and go, oh gee, don't know what happened there, or they're gone forever.
Yeah.
You know, can you relate to that sort of mindset?
I don't think I would ever be let near going up my own arse. I had five brothers and we have a pub, and I think if I come, hey guys, hi, I'm back, you're welcome. They'd be like, sorry, what? I mean, the pub, Christ, is it humbling. But yes, there's a great documentary, I don't know if you've ever seen it, called, no, I can never remember if it's 70 feet from stardom or 73 feet or 70 feet.
My wife, it's one of our absolute favourites.
Isn't it wonderful?
Mind-blowing.
Do you remember there was a woman in it talking about if she'd been the Beyonce, she was like, I would be a crack addict or I'd be a drug. She was like, I wasn't cut out for that.
Yep.
And if it had come any, you know. And that documentary has never left me, and that aligned with the same advice of don't ever believe your own hype. And, the minute I'm home, I'm like farming or doing something very, you know, ordinary. So that I think is why I wouldn't. But yes, I've seen people go up their own arse. Some of them don't come out. And, you know, mazel tov to them. Bye. But yeah,
there's another bit from that documentary that I think about a lot. I suppose the lesson here is you can always turn it around. But I think it's Darlene Love had been so stitched up by the music industry that she becomes a cleaner, and then she's cleaning someone's house, and she would sing while she cleaned. I mean, this is, and that the owner of the house goes, "Oh, you sing just like Darlene Love." She's like, I mean, she had the comeback, and it all turned out all right. But, It's an astonishing movie, that, isn't it?
Yeah, it's so good. Everyone should watch it. It was. I think I saw it on a plane, and it was one of the ones where you're like, it was. Yeah, it really stuck with me. It really stuck with me because when I was young, I also had a great humbling experience. I don't think I was being a plonker. I don't think I was being a plonker anyway, but I achieved a lot of success. In Ireland, very young, like early 20s, it was just lead to lead. It wasn't lead to lead. Like, I auditioned my ass off and I worked hard. I never took it for granted. But I mean, it all was a lot of yeses at that point. And then I moved to London and nobody cared. And so that was the great humbler.
Yeah.
It was like, oh, go swim in the big ocean. And then when I started to do all right in London, I decided to go to LA, and it was like, well, that's just an experience. I think even, I don't know, even if I was Rockefeller, that's still a very bizarre experience. So that was another moment of, right. So, actually, I think, do you know Aisling B?
It's so funny that you say that. I once interviewed Katrina Balf, and I said to...
She's from Monaghan.
Very good mates with Aisling. And so I said to Aisling, I said, and I've known her for like 10 years, and I'm so tempted to not ask this question, but I said to Aisling, I said, I know it's such a dreadful, sweeping generalisation about Irish people that you all know each other and you're all friends. And I said, but I just interviewed Katrina Balf. I don't suppose you know her. And she's like... You were right to assume that. We do. And
we do all know each other.
You do all know each other.
I always think of Aisling when I think of LA, because there was a sort of a small group of us out there who would meet up when we'd go out. This was years ago. I haven't been back in years, because I was like, that's fine. If the industry takes me out there, but I'm done looking to get my own head kicked in. And yes, I think of her and people like her when I think of LA, and I think of humility, and I think of just this group of just brilliant Irish women sitting around going, laughing at our misery at the time. and that's like, be that guy, you know, don't be, others tedious.
I do these comedy nights. And we did one on Christmas Day for a charity. Christmas just gone. It was online because we thought that loads of people on their own and what have you.
Mm.
And once Aisling found out, I mean, she's the one that just powered it forward. She goes, right, you need to make a poster. You need to get faces on the poster. I want you to design me something that explains how people log on. And then, you know, we raised thousands for this charity. And, you know, I always think of Aisling as the one who was just the, you know, the one that took it from point A to point Aisling B. So that was not
We are on fire and it's not even 11.
Apologies to Aisling there. But what is that all about? This is such a generalization, but why Irish people, and you know, you all know each other, you're all supported, you're all pally. Whereas I think sometimes with the British, it can be a bit, you're almost covering each other, you know, you're covering your homework and a bit more.
I don't know. I wonder, is it because we were such an oppressed nation, and maybe, but then you think maybe that would make us more covetous. I think, I don't know, I can only speak for myself, but there's an awful sense of being very grateful to be there, and a rising tide lifts all boats. And
yes, please.
You know, there was a great, I read Amy Schumer's book, and she had a great, the most simple thing that really struck me, which was some comedian she was talking about, some guy, I can't remember his name, and she was talking about how he was like that. He was the cover the homework type, covetous type. And she was like, stay in your own lane. Us going alongside each other, we cannot take from the other. It doesn't work like that. And then there is an element of that, you know, and you have that sometimes. You compare yourself. You'd be like, oh, are they going to get it? And like that, all the things I've said all feed into the same thing of, like, if it's your part, it's your part. Whether you cover your homework or you open it up, it's a load of bollocks. It's like you've got your own road, you've your own lane, and you know, with like that wee famous girl on, was it YouTube? With the, remember the little girl with the seatbelt? Worry about yourself.
No.
There's a great, I don't know, is it, what's it on? But it's just it's a dad, I think, trying to put a seatbelt on his little girl, and she keeps going, worry about yourself. And he's laughing, and she's like, worry about yourself. Nice. As in, you put your own seatbelt on, she'd go out, and she was being, you know, unbeknownst to her, incredibly profound. And I think that's, worry about yourself.
Absolutely. I mean, I'd also read about you that you know, you're keen to keep doing this for a long time. I remember interviewing Patricia Arquette in the before time, you know, must be over a year ago. But she'd said, and obviously you're young, but Patricia's point was, the great thing about television and film now is, as a woman gets to, say, 50s, 60s, 70s, and so on, the roles are there. Whereas back in the 80s, yeah. I mean, it was brutal, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, is that pleasing from your point of view, that because there is such a voracious hunger for quality content, and, you know, Bloodlands is right in the top, you know, the Premier League of that.
Yeah.
That must be gratifying to know that the work will be there now in a way that it wasn't before.
Yeah, it's a name drop alert, but one of my best friends in the world is Leslie Manville. And
stop it.
We lived together for years, for a couple of years. We're really, she's my acting mother, I call her. She's like my mom in that. I don't even mean in that world. I always called her, she was like my London acting mum.
Amazing.
Fairy. But she, I mean, living and being best friends with someone like her is just, it's a degree in how to be, in how the industry can be. I mean, her roles, you know, she's always had good roles, but Christ, she's knocking it out of the park at the minute with the roles. And you go, wait, hang on. And she's a great lesson in everything, in how to age gracefully, how to accept roles, just everything. I love her integrity and, so she's a great mentor and has shown me that world, that it doesn't end at 22. And it's just wonderful also that people are starting to realize that, you know, maybe older people's stories are much more interesting and layered and have a wealth of experience behind them. I was only talking to another actress, and she's on Peaky with me, and we were both talking about, I was talking about aging. as an actress, you know, as a woman, but as an actress, because you see yourself age on a big screen, you know, whereas not just in those awful mirrors in hotels. But I was like, it's really interesting to realize, and I'm young, I'm 37 in March, but to realize that you're not 22, you just aren't 22 anymore. And to sort of realize that and embrace aging on screen. And I said, but I was like, but my roles are more interesting now. And so God, please let that continue. And she said the same. She said she's younger than me, but she was like, I'm fighting. The older I get, the more interesting the roles are becoming. So thankfully, hopefully that's a good sea change that's happening.
Oh, I mean, it was so needed. When you think about the roles that existed, you know, it's not even that long ago. I mean, I revisit old things now and you're like, some things have aged so badly. So, I mean, thank God things have changed.
Yeah.
I mean, Leslie Manville is responsible for one of the greatest performances I've ever seen. It's Another Year, the Mike Leigh film.
Loved her in that.
There's a scene with a cake and it all gets a bit tense in like a communal kitchen. What a ferocious talent though, isn't she?
Yeah, she is. And wears it. It's like a little jewel that she just has in her pocket that there's nothing around it. In the most extraordinary way, she's so ordinary, if you know what I mean. I mean, so the pair of us had our best giggles cleaning out cutlery drawers and just having the most ordinary crack. And then I forget that she takes this jewel out and blinds people with it. And I'm like, but you're just a wee fanny. She's like, no. And we're like, okay. We're like, let's just be wee fannies and we'll just hopefully dazzle people.
I mean, it's been such a joy to chat with you. But before we go, do you sort of feel like I'm actually just getting started? You know, the old line about, you ain't seen nothing yet.
I do feel like that. And I hope that's the case because I feel like I'm I have more to get, but I feel like I went, oh, now I know how to tell this story. I'm more under my feet and I'm only going to get, please God, more under my feet. And I want to tell more. I want to do, I'm like, to circle back to 70 feet, how many feet from stardom, it's coming at the right time. So it's like, oh, I wasn't ready before when I thought, when you wanted it and you wanted it, but did you want it for the right reasons? And yeah, it's, here's hoping.
I can't remember if it was the Clara and Farrow episode I said this on, but there's that Chris Rock quote about you can be discovered too soon, you can't be discovered too late. And that is, there is a danger, right? Isn't there? There's loads of teenagers who get that big break, but they don't have the skills in the cupboard to cope and all that,
Yeah.
Before we go, one last thing, and I often forget to ask it, what do you do for balance, please, Charlene?
I walk the dog long and every day. I try not to drink too much to keep the head right. I do yoga, but I've fallen off big time.
Same.
I don't know. See people, be surrounded by good people that keep your, what did you say in that other one? That keep your, was it? It wasn't your trotters on the terracotta.
Oh, Derek Trotter once said on Animals and Horses, keep both feet firmly on the terracotta.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's if you're around the right people, that'll happen.
My wife is she's the dream of that. If I say something remotely with just a whiff of disappearing up my own backside, she will just absolutely cut me right back down. And it's important, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. It really is, because that way, the other way lies madness.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
I mean, I cannot thank you enough. That was the greatest compliment I can give is that went like that. So thank you so much.
I know. I mean, that's just the gab of the Irish.
Not at all. I was going to say it was such a privilege. So thank you so much for your generosity.
Thank you for having me.
Just huge congratulations with everything. Oh, and thank you. Take care.
Here's to more. Thank you.
Here's to more. You want Charlene McKenna to be your best friend, don't you? Of course you do. Huge and heartfelt thanks to Charlene and everyone who made it happen. Absolutely. Tell you what, if ever I'm feeling down in the next few weeks, as we hopefully head towards the end of lockdown, I'll pop on the Charlene McKenna episode. I had a big beaming smile while editing that. Joyous. Anyway, huge and heartfelt thanks. Bloodlands every Sunday. And also, Charlene, I know obviously there's Peaky Blinders, but I would say keep an eye on Charlene. I imagine a towering talent who will be who will probably go from strength to strength. I don't know why I said probably. She will go from strength to strength. We talked about that in the episode about feels like she's just getting started. And yeah, absolutely. If you've enjoyed it, please spread the word. Tell your friends. We are at Balance LDN. I'm at James Gill Comedy. Huge and heartfelt thanks as always. Take care. Lots of love. Bye-bye.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.